His goal is always the same, to get us to leave God out of the equation.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about Satan's efforts to keep believers from becoming disciples.
The devil seeks to trick us, seeks to trap us so that he can control us.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. There are enemies around us intent on distracting us from our discipleship. But today, Dr. Evans will outline steps we can take to derail their agenda by refusing to fall for their tricks and traps. Let's join him.
We have today three enemies whose job it is to distract you from your discipleship. Their job is to keep you from being steadfast in your kingdom placement and kingdom calling to be a kingdom disciple by distraction. They know they can't remove you from your position, but they can distract you from fulfilling it by getting you to move off of your purpose for which God has redeemed you, which is at its core to become a visible, verbal follower of Christ, a disciple. First of all, the world, that evil system. Jesus says in John 15, verses 18 and 19, these words: "If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you." He says, one of the marks that you are a disciple is the world doesn't like you. Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, got a number of different reactions. You could love him and follow him. You could hate him and reject him, but you couldn't skip him. When he showed up, it required a response. In other words, you didn't ignore Jesus. He wants you to know, if you become a disciple — he's talking to his disciples when he speaks this in John 15. If you become a disciple, there is going to be both resistance and rejection of your commitment to become a visible, verbal follower of Christ. And that resistance or rejection is going to come from what he calls the world. The Greek word for the word world is pronounced cosmos. It's where the ladies get the word cosmetic from. The root word for cosmetic is the Greek word cosmos. And it meant an arrangement of some kind, to organize something around a common theme. When he talks about the world in spiritual terms, he's talking about a system or an arrangement. For example, if I were to say to you the world of politics, you understand, I'm not merely talking about a location of White House or Congress. It includes a location, but I'm talking about a realm that deals in political matters. I'm talking about policies and candidates and platforms and debates. I'm talking about a world that is engulfed with political interfacing. Or if I said the world of finance, yeah, I would be including Wall Street and maybe the Fed and the different banks, but I'm talking about an economic system that governs the financial operations of a society, and we call it the world of finance. So when the Bible talks about the world, or we being worldly, it is talking about a system headed by Satan that has one arrangement goal, and that is to get you to leave God out. Worldliness is that attempt for you to join a system that gets you to leave God out of the consideration or out of the equation. It wants you to be distracted from God by its systematic mechanisms of doing that. It is designed to draw us out of the will of God. That is its central theme. The Bible makes it clear that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God. So God has a lot of Christian enemies because they befriended a system that doesn't like him. They befriended a system that doesn't want him. So when we join that system, we are outside of where God is working. So one of the things worldliness will produce is a chasm between us and God, because friendship with the world, hanging out with a system that doesn't want God, means you don't want the God that it doesn't want. Now, don't misunderstand me. He doesn't want you to leave the world. He wants you to be in it, but not of it. It's like a boat being in the ocean or on the sea. You don't mind a boat being in the water, you just don't want the water in the boat. See, it's supposed to be in the water, but the water is not supposed to be in the boat. God doesn't expect you to become a hermit and go off into Never Never Land. He expects you to be in the world. He just doesn't want the world in you. He doesn't want the world's standard or value system controlling your decision making. He doesn't want what television tells you you must have to determine what you buy. He doesn't want your friend's value system determining what you do. Worldliness is not first a location. It's a value system. It's whose value are you operating off of? And the goal of the world is to get you to keep God out of the equation. It doesn't want you to bring God's point of view into the discussion. That's worldliness, when it successfully distracts us from the God-Jesus equation. Enemy number two, the flesh. Evil desires. Evil desires. All of us struggle with the flesh because you live with it. And as long as you are on planet Earth, you're gonna have to battle this thing called the flesh. The flesh are those desires that are antithetical to what God desires. It's when what we want and what God wants are in conflict. The flesh is to desire that which is outside of the will of God. And we all have it. Let me explain how it works. When you were born with an old sin nature. The old sin nature was inside your soul. And your soul, of course, is inside your body. The old sin nature might be made like a factory. Let's say General Motors. General Motors produces cars. That's all it does. It just produces car after car after car after car after car. It's a car producing factory. While your old sin nature that you were born with is a sin producing factory. That's all it does is produce sin. And it produces it regularly on the assembly line. That's why you didn't have to teach your child how to lie. They already had a lie factory built in. That's why you don't have to teach your children how to be selfish. That's already built in. The factory is working at the point of birth. So it's producing sin. And the more the factory is allowed to work, the more sin it will produce. Because that's what the factory does. But then there came that day, I trust, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Here's what happened. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 that the old man died. The factory was closed. You remember when they closed GM? They closed the factory down. You say, well, if my factory is closed, how come I'm still dealing with sin? Well, when GM was closed, it couldn't produce any more cars, but the cars it had already produced were already on the highway. So the sin that was already being produced is already on a highway in your soul that's connected to the mix master in your body. So it now is still out there. Every car that GM produced from a factory, even when the factory is closed, the cars are still on the highway. So sin is still operative in our mortal body. To be controlled by the flesh is called carnality. 1 Corinthians 3:3. 1 Corinthians 3:3 says, you are still carnal after being saved for 5 years because you're being controlled, he says, by the flesh, and you walk like mere men. He goes on to say in Romans chapter 7, the premier chapter on the flesh, these words. He says in verse 18, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. He says, but I, verse 20, am doing the very thing I do not want. I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. Here's what Paul is saying. He's saying, I got a problem, and the problem is me. He says, in my flesh. Now, there's nobody in here who hasn't experienced doing what you didn't want to do, doing what you thought you'd never do, doing what shocked you that you did it. That's what Paul says. He says, sin is operating in me, and I hate it's there, but I don't know how to get rid of it. Because it pops up even when I don't want it to pop up. It shows up when I don't want it to show up. And he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this thing I'm living with? Now, what we try to do is come up with flesh management programs. A flesh management program is a program designed to control my flesh. Now, the problem with flesh management programming is it doesn't change you. It just manages it better. It's like my trash masher. I can put trash in it, and when I press the button, it pushes it down, simply organizing it, creating room for more trash. It hadn't changed the nature of it. It's just changed the organization of it and the amount of it I can handle. That's why Paul says in chapter 8, verse 2 of Romans, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. He says, I had to come up with something that could overcome the flesh.
Well, when Dr. Evans comes back in just a moment, he'll illustrate this point by sharing a lesson he learned at the donut shop. Right now, though, he's here with an important thought to share with us. Dr. Evans?
Well, first of all, I want to thank so many who've come alongside of us and stood with us over the months and over the years, because we couldn't be where we are without you. God is blessing the Urban Alternative. Every week we get letters from people whose lives have been impacted. I got a letter recently from a person who was going to commit suicide, who came across our broadcast and who accepted Christ and now is moving on with their lives. And we've got letters from people in prison and people whose families have remained intact. And one person, when I was at a conference, simply said, our ministry save their lives. So you see, your investment in this ministry is touching the lives of so many other people. But we also need your continued help. We need your expanded help. If we're ministering to you and make a difference for you, would you help make a difference for us? Thank you for your help.
Staying on the radio is our largest expense here at The Alternative, and we need faithful friends to help us continue our work. We hope you'll be one of them. And if you'll get in touch with us and make your contribution right away, we'd like to send you Volume 1 of our current brand new series on discipleship, Followers Not Fans, as our thank you gift. We're counting on your investment in us so we can continue investing in you. But this offer is only available for a limited time, so visit us at TonyEvans.org right away for details on Followers Not Fans. That's TonyEvans.org, or call us at 1-800-800-3222. Our phone center is open 24/7. One more time, dial 1-800-800-3222. Here's Dr. Evans once again with more of today's lesson.
I like Dunkin' Donuts, okay? I like Dunkin' Donuts, especially if they've been in the microwave, because that's dripping sugar. You know, that's dripping sugar. Now, because I'm not supposed to be eating donuts, I sneak whenever I can and don't think I'm going to be discovered, and I get me some Dunkin' Donuts, okay? Occasionally. If I sneak and get Dunkin' Donuts, I don't get just one. No, you can't eat. If they've been in the microwave, you can't eat just one. Them things melt in your mouth, okay? Give me 3 glazed donuts, 1 Twister, a cinnamon roll, and a Diet Coke. See, let me explain how this works. Ordering the Diet Coke makes me feel better about the donuts. You see, because at least I have ordered something that I hope will counteract my fleshly desire to have donuts. Come on, you know I ain't the only one who does this. See, what a lot of folk do is they live by flesh all week long and then come to diet church so they can get a diet sermon with some diet songs, hoping that a diet Sunday meal will counteract fleshly living all week long. And just like a Diet Coke won't overrule donuts, diet church doesn't overrule flesh. It just makes you feel better about having operated by flesh. Because flesh can't fix flesh. In fact, the world and the devil wants you to try to fix flesh with your flesh. Because he knows all flesh can do is become more fleshy. You can't fix a donut with another donut. Because all you're doing is adding on to the thing that you're already facing. And of course, once you get enough of them, you become addicted. And all addiction is flesh going crazy. That's all an addiction is. It's flesh that can't get enough of itself. That's why Paul says in Romans 8:2, he says, I have to have another law working in me that lifts me out of this control by the flesh. That's why God wants you to know that you now live in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. He wants you to operate from a heavenly point of view, then you won't be ruled by an earthly desire, which we all face, which we've all failed at one level or another. But what we try to do is get the flesh to fix the flesh, and the moment you try to get the flesh to fix the flesh has got you. Because the flesh can't do anything but be fleshy. And so what God is after is us operating from this different level, which discipleship is to teach you to operate in this different frame of reference. That's what the Bible calls spiritual. When you're operating from this different point of view, but the world doesn't want you to operate it from it, and the flesh doesn't want you operating from it, and finally, the devil, an evil person. He is the third distractor. We are told what the devil does and how the devil does it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 3, but I am afraid as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. Verse 14, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. In other words, he tricks people. He tricks you. If you're looking for somebody with horns, a pitchfork, and a red jumpsuit, that you'll never see him like that. He comes as a good angel, it says, as an angel of light. That is, he comes looking like he's on your side. He comes looking like he's with you, he's for you, he's behind you, he's your friend. But all the time seeking to disguise himself in order to trick us to function independently of God. He is the ultimate illusionist. He has a whole doctrinal scheme. 1 Timothy 4 verses 1 to 4 says, he has a whole teaching designed to dupe you and me by disguising himself, by being the ultimate magician, by fooling us. He can look like he's for you when he's against you, and you will only discover he wasn't for you after he's got you. It says he is an angel of light. He operates by deception. And there are very few people in here who haven't been tricked, duped by somebody or something that came across one way and was actually another way, but you didn't see it till after it was too late. We get tricked by credit card companies every day. You've been awarded $5,000. $5,000, we've increased your limit. Now, you thought they loved you. In fact, they even gave you a platinum. You're just a platinum customer. They don't tell you they're looking at holding you hostage for the next 25 years. They're not going to tell you that. They're just going to tell you, feel good that you're platinum. The devil seeks to dupe us, seeks to trick us, seeks to trap us so that he can control us. And he does it by deception. It's like the man who hit the parked car. And when he hit the parked car, he got out the car and started writing. He said, everybody thinks I'm writing my name and address. I'm not good luck. The appearance in one direction, when actually there's a whole nother agenda. The man came to knock on a lady's door. She said, your neighbor is hungry. Your neighbor lost his job. Your neighbor, the children are hungry and they can't pay their rent. I'm just going around collecting for your neighbor. So she went and she said, yeah, let me help my neighbor who's going through that, all of that. Yeah, because if they don't do something, that they're going to be out on the street. So here, she said to the man, why are you so concerned? He said, I'm the landlord. Satan has his own agenda. And he will circulate his perspective in order to get his result. And his result, his goal is always the same, to get us to leave God out. He wants us to leave God out of the equation.
Dr. Evans will be back in just a moment with a final comment to wrap up today's lesson, so stay with us. But first, we've been working our way through Tony's brand new series called Followers, Not Fans. It's a 2-volume look at discipleship that'll teach you everything you need to know about living a dedicated, devoted Christian life, including the process, the obstacles, the costs, and the rewards. You'll get the full-length version of all 12 messages, containing a lot of material we won't have time to present on the air. So be sure to contact us for details about getting a copy on CD or DVD. And don't forget, for a short time longer, we're making Volume 1 of Followers Not Fans available on CD as our gift when you support the Ministry of the Alternative with a contribution of any size. Just drop by TonyEvans.org, where you can get all the details and make your donation online before this special offer runs out. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Or you can call our 24-hour resource request line at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our staff members help you. Making and multiplying disciples should be a top priority for every church. So tomorrow, Dr. Evans will offer advice about making that effort more effective and spell out 4 key elements that need to be a part of every church's discipleship experience. I hope you'll be with us for that. Right now, though, he's back with this final comment for today.
You and I have 3 enemies: the world, an evil system that wants you to adopt its values. There is the flesh. Those are the desires, the things I want, which are against what God wants, that we face every day, and nobody has to bring it to you. You live with it because it is birthed inside of you. And then there's the devil, an evil person. So you got 3 realities at your window trying to get you to move away from the kingdom that God has made you a part of. That's why James chapter 4 says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Submit, he says, to the Lord. That has become a serious follower of Christ. He says, mourn over how you have departed from me. Don't feel good about church when you're not close to me. He says, mourn and cry over your sin. Don't feel good about it, because the better you feel about it, the further you are from me. He says, cry about our separation so that you prioritize our intimacy. Because when you draw near to me, he says, I will draw near to you. And there is where victory is for all of us.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative, restoring hope, transforming lives.